All right, I'd like to present that miracle. Jose.
What a blessing, right? Come on, we can do it better, right? What a blessing, right? You know, God is in the business of changing people's life. It's just an amazing to be able to return back to Puerto Rico after 21 years and just to serve to see a better Puerto Rico. As you can see my testimony, I was supposed to be dead a long time ago, but God mercy. Let me repeat that again. But God mercy. Amen. I will go through the message, but I remember one day that I was in a red light in Puerto Rico, close to a hospital, Centro Medico. And I have a McDonald's cup in my hand, in that light. And I was begging for $1. I was begging for another dollar so I can go to the drug kiosk closer to me and buy more heroin. I just mix it with cocaine. I just put it in my arm one more time to get high, fix myself, and then return back to the light to get more money to continue my habit. And I remember a vehicle stopped by the red light, and I see the whole family. I see dad, mom, and a couple of children in the back seat. And I remember saying to myself, could I ever have that in my life? Could I ever gonna be able to enjoy that in my life? But I respond to myself, I said, you're never gonna have that. And I said, that's right, I'm never gonna be able to have that. So I closed down mine and continued begging for one more dollar to get another portion to intoxicate myself. You see, when I see my life today, to be able to preside and oversee all this ministry that just save life, core team challenge. I'm not just here because it's just an employment. I'm here because God changed my life through this ministry. It works. It works because I'm a proof of testimony that it works to me. He changed my whole dynamic. He changed my whole family. And that's why it's so important that today we're talking about how we're going to raise the next generation. How we're going to raise our next generation. So let me, I just want to appreciate Pastor Bob, Christy, and the congregation for this great invitation to celebrate a Teen Challenge Day. Think about that. Teen Challenge Day. What an amazing moment. Thank you so much. You have been so kind. It's such an amazing blessing to be here among all of you and see my friend Billy, which is one of the toughest guys. We play tennis and Pastor Bob, he's a runner, man. I'm telling you, Pastor Bob is difficult. He don't miss a beat. And getting the balls, and Chrissy, she's a player too. She's a tough player. But we appreciate that you open the court so I can fellowship with you guys. It's such important for me to go there and play with all of you. Great fellowship, great friendship, and great brotherhood. Appreciate that. Also, I have some announcement to say that for more information about Teen Challenge, please, before you leave today, go into our dad table. That is a drug awareness teen table. It's behind the sanctuary. So please go there, get information. Maybe you have a family member that need help. Maybe you know somebody else that need help. Maybe your neighbor, maybe somebody in your neighborhood. need help. So Teen Challenge, we are here to help you, okay? Also, for all the ladies, October 16, we're going to have an open house for our ladies, our future ladies' home. It's in Caguas. My wife, Nelly, she's the director for the women's department for the whole Puerto Rico and the Caribbean and Mexico. So she's going to be hosting an open house because we felt that we need to do something for the women's in Puerto Rico. It's such amazing need in our island, you know. Just in Bayamón, just in Guaynabo, when you stop in the red light, you see women. And I got to tell you, those females, they're not born thinking that they're going to become addicts. They just become. They become addicted for some reason. But at the same time, I can tell you that we serve an almighty God that can deliver them. And they can be set free. You know? Teen Challenge was my number 13 rehabilitation program. And you can imagine the first couple programs, my family was so encouraged to me to go through and help me to change. Now the fifth program came by, and my family like, okay, you gotta stay in that program. And you know, the sixth, seventh, eighth program came by, and my family, I'm gonna send you a letter, you know. And the 10th program came by, my family was so encouraged, this is gonna be the time. You know, I just fell again. The 11th program came by, the 12th program, my family don't even visit me, you know. And the 13th program came by outside from Puerto Rico, and God really touched my life. And I opened my heart. So you see the testimony and the video. Also, for some of you that love baseball, November 4th next year, we have our banquet gala. We don't know the place yet, but we have our guest speaker is going to be Carlos Baerga, and the MC is going to be Jailin Sintron, who is a board member for Teen Challenge Puerto Rico. So we are getting ready for an amazing 2022. So stay tuned. We're going to get more information about that. How are we going to raise the next generation? That's the question. We read the story about this woman that have a child, and this child suddenly passed away. He died. You know, we're going to talk about that, some lesson that we can get from that portion of the scripture. But I got to tell you how we can raise the next generation. So in order to apply some principle, let me give you some information about Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico has 11.5% of the population of Puerto Rico suffer life-controlling issues. That means 379,000 people in Puerto Rico suffer of the sickness of addiction. There's no hospital, there's no prison, there's no rehabilitation program combined that can support and help that population. That's why it's so important that the church play an amazing role in changing people's life. That's why it's so important that we as a church continue praying, but continue going out. Going out and share the good news with people about what amazing God we serve that can change people's life. As you know, 7 people die per minute because of addiction. 7 people die per minute, according to the health department of Europe. 7 people die per minute. That means that more than one person die per 10 seconds. That really touched my life. That really, I gotta do something about it. You know, I'm supposed to be part of that 7 people. All this choir is supposed to be dead by this time. But God's grace keep reaching people's life. Mine, we serve an amazing God, right? The last week, I have a meeting in the Capitolio, in Puerto Rico White House. It sounds like a big stuff, right? Puerto Rico White House, right? So we have a meeting with the health department. We have meeting with a group of rehabilitation program that we have been trained to really face the situation of Puerto Rico. And this is 2 statistics. that really moved my life and encouraged me to continue move forward with the plan and the purpose of God through Teen Challenge Ministry. Think about that. 29% of the sixth graders of Puerto Rico admitted smoking weed. 29% of the sixth graders in Puerto Rico admitted smoking marijuana. 46% of the sixth graders in Puerto Rico admitted drink alcohol. So that's our generation. We have a good news that today Teen Challenge is in more than 140 countries. We got more than 1,400 programs that today operate with more than 25,000 beds around the world to continue restoring men's, women, adolescents, to continue putting hope within reach. That's our theme, putting hope within reach. So that's a big challenge. How are we going to put hope within reach around the world? They said that in the Caribbean and Mexico, there's more than 15 million drug addicts. That's a number that is not even fathomed into our mind. It's a huge number. So that's why Teen Challenge has prepared something called SoberPeer. We have a software now that works it out through cell phones. Because if Facebook is popular and everything now is on phone and cell phone, Teen Challenge is advancing, and now we got a software, an app called SoberPeer that people can download it in our cell phones, and they can have in their personal time, they can have rehabilitation. It called SoberPeer. You can go and visit SoberPeer.com and you can get all the information. If you feel that some family member or a friend needs something like that, please be encouraged to provide that to them. SoberPeer. The president of Global Teen Challenge, he was in Africa, in a very deep place in Africa where people still using, the cultural clothes. And that person, he was watching their sheep and goats. And suddenly that person put his hand in his cultural cloth. In the middle of nowhere, he grabbed a cell phone. Think about that. He grabbed a cell phone. That's how powerful it is. That's why Teen Challenge now operates with this software called SoberPeer and in some places called Digital Care. So we can put hope within reach to everybody around the world. I gotta tell you, I'm so excited about where we're heading and the future of Teen Challenge with this technology. I gotta tell you that for years I've seen how God continued to raise people live through misery to living a life of miracle. Through years I can see God raising ordinary people so they can have an extraordinary life. God continued treat strategies to work miracle. God changed diseases into healing, addicts into sober people, and transformed men. That's how God, this is the God we serve. For 21 years, I've been with Teen Challenge, and I have the honor and the privilege to fly around the world and raise programs and training programs and creating sustainability programs so Teen Challenge can continue expanding the territory and we can continue putting hope within reach. But I see all the problems through different countries I'll be able to see. The book of Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 13 said this, and he's going to go according to the scripture that we just read. By night I went out through the valley gate toward the jackal well and the dung gate, examined the wall of Jerusalem. We can tell it the wall of Puerto Rico, which has been broke down, and its gate, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved toward the fountain gate. Think about that. Then I moved toward the fountain gate and the king pools, but there was enough room for my mouth to get through. You see, God is looking for someone who dared to go where they are. I'm here and changed person because the Christian went to the prison in Puerto Rico and shared the good news to me. You see, I knew that the church had the power to transform people's life. I knew that the church had the power to heal the sickness. I knew that the church, the anointing that restored people's life. The problem is not that what the anointing that operated in the church. The problem was that I don't know how to get out of the place of my addiction. That's what's so powerful when the church visited me when I was in prison in Oso Blanco. And the church visited me and they shared a good news of salvation and God touched my life, changed my whole destiny, make a huge pivot in my life, and I'm here as the president and the CEO of Teen Challenge Puerto Rico. Think about that. That was not my plan. You know, that was in October 24, 1999. So in the 23rd of October of 1999, you would have told me, hey, you're going to be the president and CEO of Teen Challenge Puerto Rico. You're going to be a missionary. You're going to be a pastor. You're going to do all this good. You're going to marry a Mexican girl. I would have told you, where'd you get that dope? I'm going to buy some of that. That was not my plan. But God's plans is different. Come on, somebody need to say amen. Amen. God's plans is different. His plan is better than ours. Amen. So let me go back to the scripture. Elisha means my God is salvation. That's what it means, Elisha. And Elijah was the prophet to work with this woman, which is the Shunammite. And this woman, if you start this chapter, you see this woman, it was a prominent woman in that city. And I got to tell you, she built a place for this prophet, man. And she put a wall, she put a bed, she put a desk, she put a chair, she put a candle. And she then invited this man to go every time that he passed by. She invited him to stay and eat something and rest. And I believe that's the element that we should all have in our personal life. We should have a wall of our intimacy with God. We should have a bed of resting in the presence of God. We should have a desk that means the place that God has appointed you to sit down. And we should have a chair that means the divine calling in our life. And we all should have our candle represent the fire of the Holy Spirit and the passion of God in our hearts. But then this woman, the prophet asked her, hey, what you need? Do you want me to talk to the king or to the general of the army? And she said, no, I live in the middle of my people. That's what she responded. That means that my God, my salvation, passing through every place. There was no place that limit the salvation of God. And then the time passed by, and of course, she wasn't able to have a baby. So the prophet prophesied to her, next year, but this time you're going to carry on a baby. So the time passed by, and fast forward, she have a baby, and that baby grow, and that baby was working in the field with his father, and suddenly something happened to that baby, and that baby just died. The question is, what bad things happen to good people? So I coming from a good family, like every family, a family that have problems, issues, but still a good family. My father was the advisor of the big company in Puerto Rico, and then he became the president of that company in Argentina. So I don't become an addict because I don't have nothing. I have everything. I still become an addict. A chronic addict. So there's five important things we can learn in this miracle story that I want to give you. We're going to focus in three, but I'm going to mention five. The first two are going to pass by quick, but the third, fourth, and the fifth, we're going to dedicate just a couple of minutes for each one. The first thing that I believe is important lesson that we can learn from this miracle story is, number one, we can see a mother who did not give up in the face of her son's chronic adversity. You see, people give up all the time. But I can see this story. I remember my own mother. She didn't give up on me. She stayed praying. Man, I'm telling you, I don't scare many things in life. But when I was at 3 in the morning and I was in the caserío using a lot of drugs, when somebody told me your mom is around there, that's what I scare. That's a true story. And my mom, she was so a wise woman. She became friend for all the drug dealers, for everybody else. So everybody knew my mother. A true story. And my mother, she walked at 3 in the morning looking for his son. And everybody knew her. And they snitch on me to her. And they say, hey, your son is in that place. Go get it. Take him home. And my mom, she started calling me. Hey. I'm here. Go back home. I was so scared of my mother. But she never gave up. And I got a good news for all of you that have maybe family members who are going through a difficult season right now, or our neighbors, or some of our loved ones that are going through a difficult time right now. Hey, don't give up. You're serving an amazing and powerful God. If you keep praying and if you keep hanging with God, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond for what we think or what we experience. We serve an amazing God. Oh, my mother, she not give up. Number two, things that we can learn from this story is someone who believed God despite natural impossibility. This man of God, it was an impossible situation, but he still believed in God for the possibilities. You see, many people put a projection on me. He's going to die in the streets. He's going to die in prison. He's going to die of a sickness. It was very possible that would happen. But I got to tell you, someone still believing that God is able to change my life. And that someone, maybe it's you, that are believing of Puerto Rico. You are believing for a better Puerto Rico. You are believing for a better neighborhood. You're believing for a better family. You're believing for something that maybe is impossible. But we serve a God that said, there's anything impossible for me, says the Lord. There's nothing. God is the expert taking impossibility and making possibles. Man. That was me. I was impossible. My case was impossible. Actually, come out from prison was impossible. And I remember I was facing 16 years in prison. And then my lawyer, I received the Lord. God changed my life. He really put a destiny and put a calling on my life. And I remember my lawyer called me. I was waiting for my sentence. And the lawyer called me and said, hey, Jose, something's happening. They dropping your charges and now they offering you from 16 to 12 years. And I said, that's pretty good. So he called me back one more time. He said, hey, something keep happening. They drop again your charges and now they are offering you 8 years. And now I say, he need to keep calling me. Right? He need to keep calling me. And he called me one more time. And he said, hey, they sentence you 6 years, and because you have a good conduct, there's a place called Teen Challenge ready to open the program for you. And that's what I gained and enrolled to Teen Challenge 2001. It's amazing, right? Wow, we serve an amazing God. Number three, God's breath is essential to give life to our generation. God's breath is essential to give life to our generation. You see, the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 said that the God breathed into the nose the breath of life and the man became a living being. And I believe when the Bible said mouth to mouth, it's kind of funny, but I write this when I was writing the scripture. God is giving us mouth-to-mouth resurrection, breathe to Puerto Rico. And I know what that means because I have 5 overdoses. A couple of the time, I have mouth-to-mouth resurrection somebody giving to me. And that give me life. That give me life. So I believe that God is giving mouth-to-mouth resurrection breathe to Puerto Rico, to our generation. You see, the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will prosper and successful. How are we going to be prosperous and successful? Through the word of God. Jeremiah 1:9 said, then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my word in your mouth. I got to tell you, there is a fresh breath of life for the island of Puerto Rico. God have a dream for Puerto Rico. I was very comfortable in Oklahoma. So as an Oklahoma person, I learned to say howdy. When I went to Oklahoma, this is very funny. They greet me and Nelly, and then they have a gift for me, and they give me a boots. I said, welcome to Oklahoma. There's a fresh breath of life to our island of Puerto Rico, and that's very encouraging. That's very encouraging because I'm here today because God breathed life in my life. Number 4, God gave us a fresh vision to raise up our generation, eye to eye, a fresh vision. The book of Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2 said, then the Lord answered me and said, write down the vision and inscribe it clearly on tablet so that one who read it may run. The vision is for the future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. Even seems low in coming, wait patiently for it will surely take place and will not be delayed. You see, we serve a God that came on time. It was the right time and the right place for me to receive the Lord, 1999. You see, God knew how to reach out to me. I was a runner. I knew how to run. I knew how to escape. I run from my family. I run absolutely from the police. But God knew how to catch me. He's a good bounty hunter. You see, in the list of the 10 most fugitive in heaven, maybe your name is in there. And God is chasing you. Maybe your loved ones, his name is there, and God is chasing your loved ones. Maybe a son, a daughter, a granddaughter. Maybe their name is written in the list of the most fugitive from heaven, and God is chasing them. I got a news for you. God will catch them. Praise the Lord, amen. You see, God have a fresh vision to Puerto Rico. That's why we are here, because God have a dream for Puerto Rico. I got to tell you, when they told me about coming back to Puerto Rico, I said, I don't want to go back to Puerto Rico. I'm very comfortable in Oklahoma. We have a men's program, a women's program, and a beautiful ministry. We were very comfortable. And Nelly and we built our dream house in Oklahoma. We're still looking for our dream house in Puerto Rico. But let me tell you this. One day I came early home and I was sitting right in front of the fireplace. And I was alone. And I said, God, this is it. I fulfilled my dream. I have my house. I have everything. That's it. And I heard the voice of God. I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit that said, no, there's more. Get ready. And that get ready was like a 2 month later. That was a quick get ready. So when God placed our call to come back to Puerto Rico, We were ready, and we put a sign in our dream house in Oklahoma on sales, and we flew back to Puerto Rico 21 years later of being out of the island. Last one. God give us the strength to raise up our generation, hand to hand. Strength. Hand represents the strength. You see, the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8 said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes unto you, and you will be my witness." He said, in Jerusalem, we can call it in San Juan. You can be my witness in Guaynabo. You can be my witness in Bayamón. You can be my witness in San Juan, in Rio Piedra, in Dorado. You can be my witness in all Judea, all Samaria, at the end of the earth. You see, God is giving us the strength so we can continue bringing the good news. What is a spiritual strength? The spiritual strength is a reserve of courage that each one has within their hearts. And you must exercise it because it helps us to move forward in moments of difficulties. Help us to move forward, especially when we face adversity. The spiritual strength helps us to transcend moments. And that's why we are here believing God for the better for Puerto Rico. Because we believe a God that gives us the strength to continue reaching people's life. To continue putting hope. I want to remind you that there is an answer from God for our generation. God has a dream. And God is looking those who want to be partaken of the dream of heaven for Puerto Rico. I want to be one of those. There's no doubt in me that a wave is coming to Puerto Rico where the church will receive power, grace, and favor from the Holy Spirit to witness with evidence of what the Lord has done yesterday, what the Lord is doing today, and what the Lord will continue doing for tomorrow. We serve an almighty God. Praise the Lord. Let me land this airplane. I firmly believe that there's an awakening of evangelism in the people of God. Where a powerful anointing that is recorded in the book of Luke chapter 4 verse 18 is going to impact different communities. What the book of Luke chapter 4 verse 18 highlight, this is what the highlights are. We will give the good news to the poor. The broken heart will be healed. We will proclaim freedom to those who are captive. The blind will receive sight. The oppressed will receive freedom. And we will continue even in the middle of the pandemic of the COVID-19. We will proclaim that we live in the year of the favor of the Lord. The pandemic don't have the power to take away the favor of God. With this, I finish. This time, the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. That young man woke up, and now is how we can see how God can raise up a generation. I think about the awakening of our generation. Our generation needs someone to help them. Our generation, they need those who declare the word of God to them. Our generation needs someone to show them the way. Our generation needs someone to lift them up. You see, the Bible finished that chapter with this. Then Elisha summoned Jesse and called the child's mother. I remember that day when Teen Channel called my mother and said, "Your son graduated. Your son changed his life." I believe that there's a call to the families. And he said, and when she came in, Elijah said, "Here, take your son. Here, take your son." I believe that's the most amazing moment in the restoration of our loved ones. The moment that the family can receive back the son, the daughters, the loved ones who has been away, destroyed because of addiction. And now, here, take your son back. One day, I was praying, and the Lord placed on my heart that he's placing back the smile in the face of the family. And that's restoration. My mom, she was dying because his son, he was an addict. But my mom received life when God restored me. And you know, when the Bible said that she overwhelmed with gratitude, let me tell you what happened with my own mother. My mom, when God changed my life, my mom was so overwhelmed with gratitude that she decided to dedicate her life to God for what he has done in me. She decided to serve him the rest of his life, of her life. I remember we were in Dominican Republic for a mission, as a missionary for 10 years. And my mom visited me with my stepdad. And my mom one day came to me and she said, "You know, son, I want what you have." And I said, "Mom, what I have is Jesus." And she said, "If that is Jesus, I want that Jesus." And then my stepdad just stepped in and he said, "If your mom received Jesus, I want to receive Jesus too." That was amazing. So we got two by one, right? So think about that. And then they both received the Lord. And then my mom said, "I want you to baptize me." And I said, "Mom, we are in Dominican Republic. There's water around the island." And then, you know what's coming? Who's coming behind, right? My stepdad. And my stepdad said, "If your mom, she get baptized, I want to get baptized." So we both, me and Nelly, we baptized my mom and my stepdad. And that day, my mom, she become a warrior. A couple months later, she called me and said, "You know, I felt from the Lord that I need to prepare myself." So I said, "Mom, get into a theology school. Do something. Get ready." So she enrolled into a ministry school. And she graduated. She sent me a year later, she sent me a picture with a diploma. And she sent me a letter saying, "I'm ready." I said, "Mom, you're ready. Go preach. Do everything that God called you to do." And a month later, she went to the hospital and she graduated with the Lord. But she fulfilled her calling. She was overwhelmed with gratitude. And that's the plentiful of the restoration, gratitude. You see, that's why we are here in Teen Challenge. Because there's no other way I can show God my gratefulness to him than just serve him. And just raise program, help this my generation with my wife, travel the world, build programs, develop programs, because that's the Lord we serve. Thank you so much for this great opportunity, Pastor Bob.